lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Monday, April 4th, 2022. Welcome all of you now listening to us on the upstairs channel there on shortwave. Man, we are worldwide on two different frequencies. You gotta love that. And here's the thing. Many of you may or may not read the Epoch Times. And for those of you who do religiously sift through the stories and the videos and various things like I do, because I subscribe to it. It is one of my news sources, and I noticed that the Epoch Times does spend an inordinate amount of coverage on China and also on various interests that affect our world, especially in the United States, national security, et cetera, et cetera. One of these particular authors that covers national security issues for the Epoch Times is Ken Silva. And he has been on numerous podcasts. I've seen him on there. Reporting background includes cybersecurity, crime, and offshore finance, including 3 years as a reporter in the British Virgin Islands and 2 years in the Caymans. Boy, it must be nice, Ken. He's got this new topic out, which I think this is going to interest you. 844-769-2944. That is our toll-free number. If you don't have us on speed dial, you need to put us there because we're going to be talking about PatCon. That's an acronym. Ken's going to explain what that is. These are records that providing a glimpse of the FBI right-wing infiltration ops. You want to know about January 6th? We might just get into that. Right, Ken? Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So for those of us that have just kind of barely had a brush with the term PatCon, what does it stand for? What does it mean? Give us the down and dirty on that.
Sure. So PatCon was the code name for a secret FBI right-wing infiltration operation that ran in the early 1990s. The full name was Patriot Conspiracy, codenamed PatCon for short. Now, this program entailed three undercover FBI agents literally pretending to be domestic terrorists. They ran around the country networking with other right-wing groups, flashing cash, saying people that, you know, they could fund operations. They said they were bank robbers who funded domestic terrorism through their proceeds of crimes. And the significance of this operation is that it never resulted in any major arrests, which means that it was either a massive domestic spying operation at best, or it might have been an incitement operation, as a PatCon whistleblower claims, but we can get into that in a little bit.
Oh, for sure, you know, because I'm looking at this and so much for fidelity, bravery, and integrity, which is what FBI stands for. I'm just like scratching my head going, you know, there isn't one thing. These guys are pathological liars anyway, but to go out and actually talk to people, and I'm not saying every one of them is, just the majority of the agents that I've ever run across, they don't tell you the whole story up front. They've been educated not to do that, but to infiltrate, hardworking, God-fearing, law-abiding, gun-toting citizens. And this is where we get into this thing with January 6th, because news was coming out that they were infiltrating, either informants or the actual agents themselves infiltrated January 6th. What do we know about that?
Well, we do know there were informants in the January 6th crowd. We know that because even the New York Times has reported this. We don't know how many, and we don't know in what capacity they were there for. There have been a lot of allegations of agent provocateurs or things like that. I will say we don't have all the details, and people on the other side of this argument could probably poke a few holes here or there. But again, that's because we don't have all the details yet, which is why I think my PatCon reporting is so important, because this isn't speculation. This 1990s operation is black and white. It's historical information, and it did involve allegations of undercover FBI agents inciting, as you said, otherwise peaceful citizens to crime. So we know that the FBI has done this, whether or not we have proven that that happened in January 6th or not.
Right. Now, in your research, did you go as far back as COINTELPRO? You remember that operation?
I do. So COINTELPRO was mostly the FBI infiltrating left-wing groups in the 60s, like anti-war protesters, Black Panthers, Martin Luther King, things like that. After all these misdeeds were exposed in the 70s after the Watergate scandal, the FBI would tell you that we stopped doing these nefarious secret programs. We were kind of defanged by Congress. And that's, in fact, what an FBI special agent claimed following the Oklahoma City bombing, that, hey, we didn't have any intelligence in place. We didn't know what these right-wing groups were doing. And then it turns out PatCon was revealed in 2007, so it turns out the FBI had been lying for over a decade about what they knew leading up to Oklahoma City bombing. So, yes, there's a long history of this.
Why am I not surprised, Ken? And so how long have you been doing this as far as your investigation of PatCon?
I've been researching this about 3 months, and readers might want to know why I've been writing about 1990s era operations so much. Well, one of the main people that has exposed PatCon is a Utah attorney named Jesse Trenadue, and he has been filing numerous lawsuits against the FBI and CIA for records about Oklahoma City bombing and other 1990s era operations. And one day I was just bored flipping through federal court records. I typed in his name in the database, and it turns out that one of his cases has been open for more than 15 years. I emailed him about it. He gave me a slew of documents that have led to these recent stories. And the case that's still ongoing, we could talk about that if you'd like, involves allegations that the FBI has intimidated a witness that was going to testify against PatCon. And that's what the courts have been investigating, which is why the case is still open.
Right. I understand that. And I have seen that article and have seen a number of the different things involving that. He's an attorney, is he not?
Yes, he's an attorney, and his brother died in federal prison. He believes it's connected to Oklahoma City, and because he's an attorney, he's been able to procure all these documents, wrangle them out of the FBI. I think the federal government didn't know who they were messing with initially.
No doubt. Did he do this all through FOIA requests, or did he have some other contact connection out there?
So mostly through FOIA requests, but about 10 years ago, as he was slowly procuring documents, a former informant who worked on PatCon operations for the FBI called him as a whistleblower. And he said, well, I see the documents you've been getting. I want to give you the full story because this man was on death's doorstep. He had been dealing with Agent Orange issues from Vietnam. And so he and Jesse, they worked together. They pieced together the puzzle of PatCon, and they gave this whole story to Newsweek. The reporter at Newsweek did a really good job reporting on PatCon. I obtained an uncensored copy of his story, but if you Google it, go online and find the Newsweek story, you'll find a heavily watered-down version, and that's why the PatCon whistleblower then agreed to testify at Jesse Trenadue's trial before the FBI allegedly intimidated him into keeping his mouth shut, and he's been off the grid for about the last 7 years.
That's the one thing I notice is when they don't want somebody to testify or they want somebody to disappear, it in fact happens. So, and we don't know, according to the article, which I have in front of me here, that this thing has gone back further than 2007 even, because these were when first heavily redacted records actually opened up. This stuff has been going on for a long time. And is there anything significant that is now or should come to light that you've found so far that hasn't been reported besides the Trinity case?
Sure. Well, what's coming down the pipeline is related to the Trinity case because, like I said, the case has been sealed for the last 7 years, gag orders implemented on all parties while the court investigates whether the FBI has been intimidating a former informant who worked on PatCon. So Jesse hasn't told me what's been going on because he would get in trouble for doing that. They'd probably try to throw him in jail. But one can only imagine the absolutely stunning revelations that have come out into court over the last 7 years. I believe, you know, FBI people have probably been deposed, maybe even the PatCon whistleblower. So eventually this case is going to open back up and all these documents will be made public, and then we'll get to look what's been happening over the last 7 years. And I got to tell you, Jesse's witness tampering allegations, they strike me as very true. And why would the court be devoting these kind of resources towards a 7-year investigation if this is some sort of conspiracy theory or fool's errand? It just wouldn't.
True. And 844-769-2944 is the number to call. Here's something interesting, because PatCon was launched in 91. Ruby Ridge happened in 92. Waco happened in 93. And we know from a lot of the records in Waco that they actually had, besides the FBI sniper there from Ruby Ridge, we have heard reports that Lon Horiuchi, who took Vicki Weaver's head off while she was holding her baby, was there at Waco as well. We also heard, and this is, you know, obviously during a Democratic administration, it was Clinton and Reno. Obviously, we also heard that there were Whitewater documents in Oklahoma City when it happened. But we understand that from Waco, that FBI actually had an informant inside the Koresh compound. Have you heard anything about that as long as you were investigating the history of this particular program?
I have heard that. I don't have many details beyond what you just said, but you did mention Ruby Ridge, and it is in the FBI 2007 PatCon documents that one of the FBI undercover people who was pretending to be a skinhead, pretending to be a right-wing guy, he was at Ruby Ridge in his capacity as a normal special agent. And his buddies in the FBI are like, oh, shoot, you're supposed to be undercover with the people at Ruby Ridge. So they panicked, and they had to throw a blanket over the guy's head and usher him out of the scene real quick. I don't believe the Ruby Ridge guys ever discovered that one of their own was actually working with law enforcement that day, but it did come out in records in 2007.
Now, was he one of the ones that actually coerced or cajoled, or whatever term you want to use, encouraged Randy Weaver to saw off the barrels of two shotguns? Is he one of those agents?
You know what? That wouldn't surprise me, but I can't confirm that because the identity of the agent has never been revealed. None of the three agents who operated as undercover in the right-wing movement have been revealed. I should mention, by the way, that they operated a front group called the Veterans Aryan Movement. So this Veterans Aryan Movement was supposedly a right-wing militia, but in fact we now know that it was an actual FBI front group.
Okay, and so here's the thing. The people out there that, and this is something you have to understand, we just read a story about a gentleman in his 70s who just has to serve another 31 months in lockup because he came to the January 6th event with Molotov cocktails, rifles, ammunition, all sorts of stuff in his car, left it unattended, even though nobody was hurt and he didn't use them. Fact of the matter is he had them in his possession, and so basically they established intent. And you've got to wonder, based on what we know at Ruby Ridge and what we know about rules of engagement, every time that there is a political pendulum swing, the rules of engagement changed. And in this particular instance with both Ruby Ridge and Waco, the Democrats were in power. Reno was attorney general. And part of the problem, even with her, the buck stops here, or with me, comment, it didn't. What happened was, is all these people that were involved got promoted. after this whole event happened. The people that were at Waco got promoted. You know, it's really sad that all these people get elevated for murdering a bunch of American citizens, and then they're sitting there making up lies about these people, saying they were, you know, not dealing drugs, but they had ammunition, and, you know, the big thing, the funny about Reno was they told me he was slapping the babies. Like, that is their business. That isn't any of their business, but the FBI made it their business, and they do if they want to, because these people do not care about, you notice that the rights have changed? As far as civil rights, Americans' rights, do you notice a big shift between administrations, between when Trump was in power and the current administration, how people now, all of a sudden, there's this propensity to accuse everybody that doesn't agree with them to be labeled as domestic terrorists?
Yeah, we're certainly returning to the 1990s era where anybody, Rush Limbaugh and anybody to his right were labeled as literal Nazis. Never mind the fact that McVeigh's buddies were actual literal Nazis, and the government seems to have covered up any attempts of tracking them down, because who knows what connections they have to federal law enforcement. While we're on the subject of people getting promotions after this whole debacle, one of the lead prosecutors on the Oklahoma City bombing investigation team was none other than our current sitting Attorney General Merrick Garland. And that's the next story I'm working on, is examining his role in this, because he prosecuted the preliminary hearing, and there were a lot of questions about surveillance footage showing McVeigh and an possible accomplice with FBI connections. And every time questions were asked about the possible John Doe number two or surveillance footage, Garland objected. So I'm looking into his role for sure.
Well, the thing I would like to know, that a lot of people would like to know, is did they, in fact, find 3 55-gallon drums of fulminated mercury undetonated in the basement at the Murrah Building in Oak City?
Ooh, I haven't heard that one. I did hear that there were witnesses who saw people putting putty on the walls, speculating that that might have been C4. And I know that apparently McVeigh or whoever was driving the Ryder truck on April 19th, 95, the goal was to park it inside. Witnesses saw the Ryder truck trying to get in the parking garage, but it was too tall. And if that's the case, it would have exploded. The whole building would have exploded, and we never would have known about any of these things, about C4 or the explosives you spoke of. So, I think you might be onto something. I haven't heard about that specifically, but it does sound like things that I've read and heard.
Well, and of course, you know, read and heard is not verified, and we both know that being reporters. The thing is that, you know, just when the rumor mill gets started, and then you have to deal with a situation like this with PatCon, I mean, it's like you can't trust these people, and then you can't trust Garland. You can't trust a lot of that. We don't know that it was only McVeigh and Nichols and the guy that was helping him drive the van. We don't know who all the people were. We don't know that the Clintons didn't have something to do with it because of all the Whitewater documents that were in the Murrah Building at the time that it was detonated. We don't know. So, you know, it's one of these things that it is a conspiracy until it's proven. But here's the thing about PatCon that gets me is that, you know, they can come out and just literally target. And this is a thing I've got to warn our listeners about. It's one thing to keep your viewpoints to yourself. It's another thing to get out and support the vote and do what is necessary to put the right people in office. Vote for the person, not the party. But the thing is, you've got to be careful about some of these organizations that go past the norms of mainstream society and attempt to do the things that PatCon would literally gravitate to. Did you notice, Ken, when you were dealing in situations like this, whether there was any kind of warning signs of all the red flag goes up? There's something going on here. I don't like the looks of these guys. Anything like that come across your desk?
Well, so the whole reason PatCon started is because in the 1980s, there was a bunch of displaced farmers, Vietnam veterans down and out on their luck, a lot of economic hardship in the heartland, and a lot of these people did form militias, and a lot of those militias did have anti-government rhetoric. But the FBI formed PatCon, they investigated these groups, they found no concrete evidence of crimes or anything like that, no threats to the government, and yet they kept PatCon running for another 2 years. Anyways, just to gather intelligence on these groups. And you also hit on something just now that I wanted to mention too, because you said there's a lot of mysteries about Oklahoma City that we don't know. But what we do know from PatCon whistleblower John Matthews, the man we've been talking about, is that he said that he saw Timothy McVeigh in 1994 at a militia training compound with a man named Andy Strassmeyer, Andy the German. Andy the German, his name appears in CIA records. We don't know in what capacity because the CIA hasn't released those records, but we know he has some connections. We also know through congressional investigations that he dated an ATF informant named Carol Howe. So now you have an ATF informant, a man with connections to the CIA, and an FBI informant who worked in PatCon, all within 2 degrees or less of Timothy McVeigh. So that must tell you that PatCon was either a massive failure of an intelligence operation or something worse.
Well, and not only that, but then when you look at the reasoning behind why Oklahoma City occurred was because of Waco. At least that's what we're being told. The circumstances that I see here with the FBI and the way they handled, I mean, that was a real debacle, political debacle, handling that, especially with the murder of all those women and children. This was no fault of their own. And the way that they went about this, and the thing that bothers me the most about Waco is the fact that they really attempted to control the narrative in the media, demonizing. This is something that the FBI is notorious about. And with them and the U.S. attorney is to demonize their target. And have you noticed that with a lot of what you've uncovered as far as investigations?
Well, yeah, absolutely. They demonized him. They referred to him on every reference as a cult, not a religious group. Of course, any enemy of the state will be dehumanized as a cultist, a lunatic, somebody on the fringe. They're doing that with the January 6th defendants to justify throwing them in gulags. They did that with the defendants accused of kidnapping the Michigan's governor, which, by the way, that's another plot heavily infiltrated by the feds. So, yes, this is a common playbook that the U.S. government has, for sure.
What have you found out about the Whitmer case? Is that I hear that the guy that their lead guy apparently has some mental issues. Is that true?
Well, so the Whitmer trial actually ended Friday, and the jury is deliberating as we speak. A quick rundown of that case was there were about 25 people allegedly plotting to kidnap the governor in 2020 in response to her lockdowns in Michigan. It was revealed over the last year that half of those people, or 12 out of the 25, almost half, were informants. And there was another 3 FBI agents involved in the case. So over the last week, the defense has made a really strong entrapment case, and we'll see what the jury thinks of it either today or tomorrow, probably.
Yeah, well, we hope so. All right, Ken Silva, hopefully you can stick around with us after the break here. We're going to take a short one. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. This is getting interesting. We're going to take your phone calls. You got something to ask Ken? Now's your chance. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Caps, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Purely C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
The Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would. The Strokes Heart Drops, the world-famous Strokes Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strokes's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those heart drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 12 noon on Monday, April 4th, 2022, we're in Central Time. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We have Ken Silva with the Epoch Times here with us, and we've been talking about PatCon, which is basically Patriot conspiracy. This is a thing. The FBI, as we know, has been infiltrating right-wing groups or groups that basically are God-fearing, gun-loving, you know, gun-toting, you know, try-to-do-the-right-thing kind of people. And, of course, now, is there – we talked earlier about warning signs, Ken, and what I'm looking at here – in one of the things that you mentioned, in an attempt to prove they were not feds, PATCON agents and informants set about successfully arranging the theft, often from military bases, sale and purchase of related contraband, so they can entrap people. This according to historian Wendy Painting. And so I'm just kind of curious, is do you see this as kind of the norm about what people should expect if all of a sudden they come out of the woodwork and next thing you know they've infiltrated your group and they're like, hey, we can make all this work. We have access to all this. I know somebody. You know, should we all of a sudden get suspicious?
Yeah, absolutely. This is well known. You don't have to know about PatCon. You could go to January 5th, 2021. Do you remember the man named Ray Epps who was in the crowd?
Yeah.
He's telling everybody, we got to go in the Capitol, guys. We got to do violence. You know, we got to get serious. Everybody immediately starts chanting, Fed, 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 because people know that we have to keep things peaceful or it discredits the entire movement. So, yeah, this is a well-known fact. You don't need to know about PatCon to know about the federal government's incitement, and not just with the right-wing groups. There's a good book called The Terror Factory by Trevor Aronson where he talks about how the federal government entrapped Muslims after 9/11 for, you know, that kind of stuff is still going on, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is the thing. Anybody who is who loves America, and they don't have to be pro-Trump. I'm seeing a lot of that too. Do you see a lot of pro-Trumpers being targeted as well?
Yeah, I don't have actual proof of that, but I mean, one could certainly argue that the pro-Trump crowd was targeted with the Michigan Whitmer kidnapping case, because, again, these were people who were just upset about the lockdowns. They might have been saying some crazy things on Facebook, but then the FBI, their first informant that they inserted into the group was a former Special Forces guy who would jump behind enemy lines and help the Air Force do laser targeting, and the FBI codenamed him Thor. And the feeling, according to the defense, is this codename was in a reference to that this informant would be treated like a god among the Whitmer kidnapping defendants, who are a bunch of scrubs with no real military skills. You insert this Special Forces guy, and he'll be able to manipulate the group. So, yeah, that's certainly, I think that's the case.
All right, so we know that they're capable of steering an entire group of misfits into doing something that they really didn't understand what they were doing, but therefore they could create intent so the federal government could win its case and basically make all of these people political prisoners, I'm pretty sure. Brian in Missouri, you are on the Power Hour with Ken Silva. What's your comment or question?
Well, I had a question. It's been years ago. I read on the internet. Do you remember Chandra Levy, that aide of a congressman from California, and she died? Do you remember that case?
I do remember it. Ken, do you remember it?
Sorry, I'm unfamiliar with that one.
Well, what I'd come across was that McVeigh was actually working for the government, and they faked his death. And she was privy to this knowledge, and she was told not to share it. And they were monitoring her phone calls, and she told her best friend. And that's why she was killed. She was actually killed by the government because she was blabbing the truth. So, anyway, and I just wondered if you ran into any information on that.
That's an interesting play there, Brian.
I'm not familiar with the...
You know, 10 years ago, you could get so much good stuff on the Internet, and now it's been scrubbed. I mean, it's amazing the difference. I remember one of the most amazing things I ran across on the Internet back then was, you know, they talk about the Nixon tapes. Well, the Johnson tapes were on the Internet then, and they were... Oh, just so much more interesting what was going on. And the transcripts of the Moscow show trials were on the Internet. And they just blew my mind because, you know, we don't get the truth. And so that's just two examples, and that was something I read on the Internet back then.
Well, that's interesting, Brian, you would bring that up. Ken, what say you on that?
I'm not familiar with the case you spoke of, but in terms of the rumors that McVeigh was never actually executed or he was working for the government, the book that we referenced before, Wendy Painting's Aberration in the Heartland of the Real, she actually got her PhD from that book, and she bases it off of a trove of letters that were previously unpublicized that McVeigh had been sending to his family in the late 80s and early 90s, and he tells his family that, "I was pulled out of Iraq War I because they want to put me in a super secret special forces team that goes around the country and does secret operations to prevent terrorism." And the letters slowly evolve into him saying, like, I'm getting upset with what my handlers are doing. And really, really interesting letters like that to his mother and sister. Whether or not McVeigh was just crazy and delusional and thinking he was a special forces guy, that's certainly an option, but those letters do exist. And sorry, the last other thing I wanted to mention is that nobody ever saw McVeigh die. The people that saw the execution say that his eyes never closed, his mouth never closed, and then the screen just went black, and the government said, oh, he's dead. So, yeah, sorry for rambling, but that's the one other key point I think your listeners should know.
Interesting. So, Ken... Yeah, it's an interesting comment from Brian. Thank you so much for calling in. Phone lines are still open, folks, 844-769-2944. I mean, this is the thing about these movements and various things. It's like you go to a meeting, and it's a well-meaning patriots, and they're discussing things, and somebody's out in the street recording license plates in the parking lot, you know, and doing research on them, this stuff is really happening, isn't it, Ken?
Yeah, and again, this isn't rumor or conjecture. The code name is PatCon. The FBI had a code name for it, and a whistleblower came out, and it's in federal court documents, sworn declarations, where he said, when I started working as an informant in PatCon, I thought the operation was to infiltrate and to inform about extremist groups. I have come to believe that the actual operation was to infiltrate and incite these groups.
Yeah, that's very disconcerting to even hear stuff like that. And of course, this, folks, is one of the reasons why we have Ken and people like him on the show that are actually on the front lines reporting. And it's, you know, I understand that they get the scoop. They come across information. They put it out there. And the beauty of it is that we can share this information freely on our radio broadcast, and it's streaming live. We're on shortwave all over the world, and people around the world can actually dial us in and hear the truth so they know what's going on two different shortwave frequencies and various AM FM stations across the country in addition to streaming live. So one of the reasons that, you know, of course we have you on the show is because everything that we have been seeing unfold regarding January 6th, regarding all of the past efforts of what has been irritating people and making them come to protest. I mean, after what happened with all these disenfranchised voters, 80 plus something million of them, I mean, it's no wonder that Merrick Garland and the DOJ now have ramped up against anybody that even shows up at a school board meeting and calls them domestic terrorists. I mean, this is just kind of like a continuation of the same narrative, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's right. And again, I know I already mentioned it, but PatCon ran in the early 90s and it was never exposed until 2007. There have never been any hearings on it, never any accountability, never any questions about why it missed Oklahoma City. So because there's never been any sunlight or accountability, one could only imagine that PatCon has evolved or grown in sophistication as the FBI has gotten bigger budgets, especially after 9/11. More sophisticated tools. So when people scoff at the notion that the FBI could have helped incite January 6th, because, you know, obviously not all the hundreds and hundreds of people weren't feds, but I think the FBI is sophisticated enough where they know if they could have key people in certain locations, they could incite things to get out of control very quickly.
You know, what blows me away, though, Ken, is the fact that the FBI can turn around and create situations like this to trap people and then send them to prison and make it so they can't possess a firearm or vote. I mean, doesn't that strike you as odd that this is something that we should expect now is going to be on the upswing?
Well, you're talking about the same law enforcement bureau that covered up a billionaire sex pedophile trafficker for 20 years, Jeffrey Epstein. The first victim reported Jeffrey Epstein to the FBI in 1996, and they covered up for the next 20 years. So anything's in bounds with the FBI, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's something else. And, you know, that name Bob Ricks comes to mind, you know, the special agent in charge at the time of the bombing. He was also in handling the Waco situation as well. The thing that blows me away, you remember seeing Linda Thompson, who was an attorney out of Indianapolis, who was threatened after she put out a video that actually showed some of the video footage of Waco and the Branch Davidians being attacked. There were four FBI agents that climbed up on the roof that were attempting to get into the compound through an upstairs window, and four of them were killed, and they all were Clinton's former bodyguards, Secret Service. And apparently, because of the fact that there was a helicopter and these people were basically being the ones that were killed were apparently killed with 7.62 by 39 bullets, which you would find in something of a nature in like SKSs and weapons like that. And apparently there was machine gun fire, of course, that took out one of the people that had apparently a 50 caliber weapon up in a tower. Killed one of the Branch Davidians up there at the same time. But these four people, have you heard any follow-up as to what Linda Thompson revealed in all of that?
Not in Waco, but Linda Thompson, I believe if we're talking about the same Indiana attorney, she came out with some jaw-dropping revelations about Timothy McVeigh.
she found out that Timothy McVeigh, while he was in prison, was being examined by psychiatrists with connection to Dr. Jolly Wilson. Now, we're going to go off the deep end pretty soon.
Go ahead.
Dr. Jolly Wilson is a CIA, a former CIA doctor who was one of the MK Ultra people. If you're familiar with MK Ultra, that was the CIA's operation to experiment on homeless people, all kinds of drifters, inject them with acid and see what happens. So this is the same guy. His students are examining McVeigh, and again, Jolly Wilson. He examined the guy who killed Oswald. So like, he's got his fingerprints on all these bizarre cases with national security implications that are also heavily enmeshed in conspiracy theories. So it's really bizarre stuff when you talk about Linda Thompson. That's just what came to mind for me.
Yeah, no doubt. And but that's an interesting piece of material there. Patrice in Ohio, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Good. And how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thanks for asking. You're on the phone with Ken Silva. What do you have, a question or comment?
Well, I mean, all of these things we are describing are black ops that the government's in on, and they all know what they're doing, and they have a secret plan of obfuscation where it looks like one thing took place when actually another thing is taking place, so they can cover up everything. Like Oklahoma, wasn't that basically because all of the Gulf War syndrome veterans who had gotten vaccinated back then and had effects that not only affected them but affected their offspring? They were about to go to trial with that, and apparently all the evidence for that case was in the Oklahoma building. That Bill Clinton made sure that all the documents were there. Is that not the case?
What do you think, Ken?
Well, I don't know about the case that you spoke of specifically, but as far as McVeigh getting vaccinations and Gulf War syndrome, yes, again, love your listeners. They know a lot. It's all there in Wendy Painting's doctoral thesis, Aberration in the Heartland of the Real. McVeigh and his unit, they got experimental vaccines because they were going into the war zone and because the U.S. military was firing artillery that was coated in depleted uranium. They did that because depleted uranium makes their artillery shells very hard, so they could penetrate through buildings or deep into Iraqi military bunkers. Of course, they literally poisoned the Iraqi people because of that. But this is why McVeigh got a bunch of experimental vaccinations before he went into Iraq. And he reported, him and his fellow soldiers reported numerous health problems because of his vaccines. And who knows what other side effects may have been presented from those experimental shots.
Are you familiar with Cody Snodgrass?
The name sounds a little bit familiar, but no. Can you catch me up on that?
No, he's the one that got asked to do the Oklahoma bombing first, and he knew that that was a setup, that it was time for them to get rid of him. So he declined the offer, and then they tried to kill him several times afterwards. And he's written a book, and he's gone on to, if you will, alternate news and told his story, and he absolutely backs up what you're saying about Timothy McVeigh, the whole deal. They asked him to do it.
So he's still alive, right,
they're
Patrice?
They're all in on it. Who?
He's still alive, right?
Cody, yeah.
Yeah, well, see, and that's the amazing thing about it is how they can sit there and write a book and expose more and more and more of this stuff, and they still remain alive because they've already leaked it out. Cat's already out of the bag. It's a little late to take somebody out because if he didn't commit suicide, that means that they had him knocked off. So we already know where that's going. So he probably actually alleviated any further attempts on his life by writing that book, don't you think?
Well, he still gets attempts. They still try to get him.
Interesting. Amazing
yeah,
how that works.
They've taken down his website. They've they've done a lot of things, but he keeps on ticking.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your input there, Patrice. Thanks so much. Kevin, you're back on the air with us again. How are you?
Well, thanks again. I've had a subscription to Epic Times for a couple of years, and I really enjoy it very much. Thank you very much for all this investigation you're doing. I wonder, could you comment on the death of Sonny Bono back in 1998?
You mean you don't think it was just a ski accident?
Yeah, the skiing accident.
I'm underinformed on that one.
Yeah, Ken's not up on that slippery slope, Kevin.
Oh, okay, he got split by a tree or something like that. I can't go into it any depth, but he was really going to reveal quite a bit, wasn't he, Dave? That's the understanding.
And he was holding public office, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the House of Representatives. Yeah.
Yeah.
California District 4. Yeah. He's worth looking into because he was sponsoring legislation. He was looking into things, and he had a lot of information, and they had to take him out. And so it was in 1998. Maybe this guy's too young for Sonny and Cher. That's why.
All right. Yeah, well, I don't know. You know who Sonny and Cher is, right, Ken?
Yeah, I do, but I will confess to being 33, so a lot of this stuff is ancient history to me. I apologize.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do have a lot of people out there that, you know, obviously we're a little more seasoned as far as history goes. And every time we see one of these things, it's, oh no, not again. And all of a sudden all these things start coming into our head, like 9/11 and the fact that all of these buildings came down vertical and that there were charges put in the buildings. And I mean, the FBI allegedly had some, you know, person in there that they took out as well. Some key FBI player. That actually knew what was going on, and they sacrificed him because he had made some mention about going public. I mean, this is the thing that, you know, they took him out as part of what happened in 9/11. But the thing, when you're looking at all of these little things that the FBI has taken and sugarcoated, much the same as that airliner that exploded over Long Island as well. I mean, all of these things, the FBI gets on there, and they put on some spokesperson, whitewash the whole affair, and everybody soon forgets about it. I mean, this is kind of the general pattern of how things work with them, isn't it?
Well, the whole reason I've been writing about this is because a man named Jesse Trinidou, the Utah attorney who's uncovered these documents, his brother was murdered by the U.S. government, and Jesse's theory is that the U.S. government confused his brother with a McVeigh accomplice that was possibly also an informant. They wanted to shut him up so he wouldn't go public with the information he knew. And it turns out that the man who Jesse Trinidou's brother resembles is a man named Richard Lee Guthrie, who was part of the Aryan Bank Robbers group, which did bear resemblances to PatCon because he was a bank robber who funded domestic terrorism through his proceeds of crime. But he, too, in 1996, he was set to give an interview with the L.A. Times, and the day before, literally the day before, he was found dead in his cell of a suicide. So, yes, there's a long pattern of these type of events.
Well, there you have it, folks. Ken Silva, we appreciate your time here on the Power Hour. And we're going to have you back again, especially if you uncover some interesting evidence or all of a sudden there's a verdict in the case up there in Michigan. We certainly want to hear back from you again. We appreciate your time and coming to the Power Hour and taking time out for our listeners and answering some questions. And, you know, stay safe. I don't know what else to say about that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the kind words, and I do have another major story coming up this week about the FBI having spies in the media, courts, other government agencies, including Timothy McVeigh's defense team. These are more records from Jesse Trinidou, so I think your listeners will be very interested if they want to check out the Epic Times.
Interesting. Well, and so far, if you have any of these new PDFs that you can share with us, please send them to support@thepowerhour.com so that we can have copies of these things to review, because we're very interested in that. We have a very tuned in audience here that, you know, I'm going to say Christian conservative that does care about what happens to this country. And again, Ken, we appreciate your time and coming on with us. All right, back to go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I can tell. Yes, your listener has educated me, so thanks again.
You bet. I appreciate it. Thank you, and Epic Times, keep up the good work. All right, back to COVID news. Just when you thought you could, it was safe to go back into the sewer again, COVID-19 hospital administrations, or admissions rather, are dropping to a new low according to the CDC. They are dropping the health warning for cruise ships. And you know what's really funny? And the irony of all of this, they dropped the COVID-19 health warning for the cruise ships after one of them, just broke out fully vaccinated. Crew and passengers, and now they've got an outbreak, and they're dropping the health warning. Isn't that amazing how that works? The NIH also admits it suppressed the Wuhan lab genetic data, but it's disputing the watchdog's deleted label. That's right. A spokesperson for NIH is disputing a nonprofit watchdog group's claim that the agency deleted genetic sequencing data on the CCP virus from a Chinese lab, but the same official acknowledged the data was suppressed. Propaganda, folks. We'll have that story for you in the email blast you're going to be getting tomorrow. If you haven't signed up for it, you need to do that. Three Miss Eura brothers have a family history of military service. Their grandfather was a Navy machinist in the Korean War. Their father was in the Air Force. And each of the brothers enlisted with pride to carry on the family legacy and support American liberty. But now, because of the jab, they feel their liberty is being curtailed. They say either get it or face discharge, they meaning the military. Each has asked for religious exemption. They're in varying stages of the exemption process. Well, all we can do is just say a prayer for these folks. Speaking of prayer, we want you to lift up Michael and Lori. Lori is struggling with newly diagnosed tuberculosis. Michael is in a rehab. We want you to pray heavily for their recovery. I know it's going to not be an easy process, but just send up prayers as we get ready to conclude our show for Monday, and just lift them up in the name of your son, Yeshua. Can I get an amen? Thank you. We appreciate that. RFJ, by the way, Megyn Kelly of the Megyn Kelly Show has interviewed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about his position on vaccine censorship. You want to read all about that? We're going to provide you links on our email blast, along with some other stuff we haven't covered today. Dave Krieger with you. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.